We went forward with our police meeting, which proved a small disaster. Only 13 people showed up, scattered across rows of empty chairs. The district commander canceled on us, sending a community relations officer instead. Every few minutes, an older couple walked in looking for the bingo game. I spent most of the evening directing this wayward traffic upstairs while Ruby sat glumly on stage, listening to the policeman lecture about the need for parental discipline. About halfway through the meeting, Marty arrived. After it was over, he came up and put a hand on my shoulder. "Feels like shit, huh?" It did. He helped me clean up, then took me out for coffee and pointed out some of my mistakes. The problem of gangs was too general to make an impression on people, he said. Issues had to be made concrete, specific, winnable. I should have prepared Ruby more carefully and set out fewer chairs. Most importantly, I needed to spend more time getting to know the leaders in the community. Flyers couldn't pull people out on a rainy night. "That reminds me," he said as we stood up. "Whatever happened to those pastors you were supposed to be meeting with?" I told him about Reverend Smalls. He started to laugh. "Guess it's a good thing I didn't tag along, huh?" I wasn't amused. "Why didn't you warn me about Smalls?" "I did warn you," Marty said, opening the door to his car. "I told you Chicago's polarized and the politicians use it to their own advantage. That's all Smalls is, a politician who happens to wear a collar. Anyway, it's not the end of the world. You should just be glad you learned your lesson early." Watching Marty drive away, I thought back to the day of the rally. The rows of black and white faces in the school auditorium, there because of the factory's desolation and Marty's own sense of betrayal. The cardinal, a small, pale, unassuming man in a black robe and glasses, smiling on stage as Will swallowed him up in a big bear hug. Will, so certain that the two men understood each other. Each image carried its own lesson. Each was subject to differing interpretations. For there were many churches, many faiths. There were times, perhaps, when those faiths seemed to converge. The crowd in front of the Lincoln Memorial, the Freedom Riders at the lunch counter. But such moments were partial, fragmentary. With our eyes closed, we uttered the same words, but in our hearts we each prayed to our own masters. We each remained locked in our own memories. A man like Reverend Smalls understood that people didn't want the victory of Harold's election, their victory, qualified. They wouldn't want to hear that their problems were more complicated than a group of devious white aldermen, or that their redemption was incomplete. Both Marty and Smalls knew that in politics, like religion, power lay in certainty, and that one man's certainty always threatened another's. I realized then, standing in an empty McDonald's parking lot in the south side of Chicago, that I was a heretic. Or worse, for even a heretic must believe in something, if nothing more than the truth of his own doubt.